Hello, my name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. We find ourselves on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Bet, that's 23b at the Mishnah, just a couple of lines down from the top. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. In this Mishnah, we're going to discuss things that require a minyan. We've been discussing Torah reading, and one of the halachic aspects of Torah reading is that you require a minyan in order to do Kriyat HaTorah. So this Mishnah identifies 12 items that require a minyan. In the Mishnah, it never calls it a minyan. It calls it asara, 10 men. And it says these things may not be done, pachot me asara, with fewer than 10 men. These are the 10 items. Number one, Ein Porsin al Shema. We do not recite the Shema. We don't understand exactly what this means. It's a difficult phrase, and we'll come back to it in a minute. But something related to the Shema or the blessings of the Shema requires a minyan. Number two, Ve'ein Ovrin Lifnei Ateva, and we do not pass before the Ark. That is understood to mean that you appoint a shliach tzibor, a chazan, someone who leads the congregation, and you don't have a prayer leader with fewer than 10 men. Number three, the eino sine kapehen, we don't dochen, the kohanim do not bless the people with fewer than 10. The ein korin ba Torah, we don't read in the Torah. The ein maftirin benavi, we don't do the haftarah. All of those things require a minyan. Number six, ve'ein osin ma'amad u'moshav. We don't do standing and sitting. This refers to the burial process. When you're carrying the body to the grave, the custom was to stop the procession at seven times, and the people would stand and sit, and there was a sort of a master of ceremonies who was having them stand and sit at the seven times that they were stopping on the way to the grave. And this procedure is only done when there's a minyan. Number seven, ve'ein omrim birchat avelim v'tanchumei avelim. That's seven and eight. We don't do the blessing of the avelim, the mourner's blessing, which was done by also by a sort of a prayer leader. And the tanchumei avelim, the formula of that you say to a mourner in order to console them is only done with 10. This we still do. You form two rows after the body is buried, after the person is buried, and as the mourners pass between the two rows, we say hamakom to them. Number nine is ubirkat chatanim, the wedding blessings. Number 10, ve'ein mezamnin ala mazon. We add the two words ala mazonin, according to the Hagos Habach. B'shem, we don't make a zimun, we don't bench using Hashem's name. In other words, saying nevarach Elokeinu, we only say it with the words Elokeinu if there is a minyan. Finally, after it mentions all these 10, the Mishnah says, pachot me'asara. None of these things may be done with fewer than 10 men. And then, they're similar but slightly different. The Mishnah is going to add two additional cases. Uva karkaot, when you're coming to redeem land, you need tisha v'kohen. You need a minyan, but it has to be nine Israelites and one kohen. V'adam, and also related to valuing a person in order to make a donation to Hekdesh, kayotzi bahen is the same, and we'll discuss that in the Gemara. Let's first do the little piece of the Gemara that explains what is the source for Minyan. And this is mentioned not only here, but also in Brachot Chaf Aleph, Brachot 21. And the Gemara begins by asking, Minaha Neimile, and this is the abbreviation in the very beginning of the Gemara, Minaha Neimile, from where are these words? What is the biblical source? And it's a slightly complicated source. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Kra, it says in the Torah, V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, I shall be sanctified within or among the children of Israel. So based on the fact that this is talking about sanctifying Hashem within the children of Israel, we say, kol davar shebikdusha, anything which is a matter of holiness, lo yehe pachot me'asara, cannot be done unless you have 10 men. My mashma, how do you learn 10 men from here? We know that it's talking about a davar shebikdusha, but it doesn't talk about 10 men. Detane Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya learned atya toch toch. We're going to bring a gzera shava from the word toch. Now, a gzera shava is a particular hermeneutic construct. It's a halachic construct where we take one word from one verse and the same or a very similar word in another verse, and it creates a sort of pipeline between them so that you can learn halachic aspects from one verse to the other verse. So we're going to do a double gzera shava. The first one here is based on the word toch, Ktiv Hacha, it's written here, V'nikdashti, and I shall be sanctified, B'toch B'nei Yisrael, among or within the children of Israel. Uchtiv Hatam, and it's written in another verse, this is in Bamidbar Tet Zayin, dealing with Korach and his faction that was splitting off from Moshe. So Hashem says to Moshe, Hibadlu mitoch ha'ida, split off from this congregation, and I'm going to destroy them. So there it uses the word Eda, and Eda means a congregation or an assembly. Now, we still don't know that an Eda means 10. So Va'atya Eda Eda, we're going to use a second Gezeirah Shavah to identify the meaning of the word Eda, congregation. Dichtiv Hatam, as it's written there in Bamidbar Yudalid, which is the previous Parsha, Ad Matai La Eda Hara'a Hazot. Eda is also mentioned related to the Meraglim. In that story, Moshe sends 12 spies to reconnoiter the land of Israel so that the Jewish people can go in and conquer it. And when they come back, only two of the spies feel positively that Hashem will enable them to conquer the land. They say, Alo na'aleh. Those two are Kalev and Yoshua. When you take off those two, the other 10 spies that remained all said, we can't conquer the land. And there, the Torah calls this group of 10 spies an Eda. So we learn that a group of 10 men, like the 10 spies, are considered an Eda. The Gemara says, Malahalan Asara, just like there you have 10 men, Afkan Asara. So too, here, and I think here means in the case of Dvarim Shebigdusha, we have 10. So I think this is the way that the learning works, and it's complex, and I'm not sure I fully understand the rules for how it works, but basically what we're saying is that since we know that in the context of the spies, an Eda means 10, and we identify that Eda always means 10 because we learn from the spies to Korach, so in both cases that Eda means minimally 10, and in the case of Korach it says mitoch Eda, from within this Eda, then we take the word betoch, and we learn betoch going back to v'nikdashti betoch b'nei Israel, and we say that from one side we learn that an Eda is 10 men, and from the other side we learn that when you have 10 men, that's when you do Dvarim Shebikdusha. So that's the teaching that is here in order for us to learn that once we identify everything that is a Dvar Shebikdusha, that it requires 10 men. So the list of things in the Mishnah is presumably the list of things that require 10 men that are Dvarim Shebikdusha. Now, one thing that's missing in the Mishnah, interestingly, is Barchu. It doesn't mention here Barchu, which is one of the key things that we consider to be a Dvar Shebikdusha. You know, up until you say Barchu, you don't need a minyan. Another thing that's missing here is Kaddish, which is mentioned, which is not mentioned. And a third thing that's missing here is Kedusha. These are all things that we would generally identify as the Dvarim Shebikdusha that require minyan, and they are not mentioned here in the Mishnah. They are, however, mentioned in Masechet Sofrim. And so it is possible that they are mentioned here, but not said out, not said clearly. So we have to understand what the word Porsin al Shema means, and it's not easy to understand it. Rashi interprets it, the word pores, as meaning to slice in half. And we use this word when talking about cutting bread in half. Cutting a loaf of bread in half would be to be pores. And when you talk about a slice of bread, you call it a prusa. So porsin al Shema can mean to divide in two. And the way Rashi understands it is that if you have a congregation that has already davened, they've already said, they've already finished davening, and then a few more men come to the shul and they want to daven, then as long as they can, as long as they have a few people, Rashi says it should be a majority, that they can gather the ones who have already davened, and they can say Barchu, and then they say the first pasuk of the first blessing of Shema, which is Yotzer Or. And within Yotzer Or, there's also a Kedusha, and it's possible that this Mishnah reflects the view that that Kedusha can only be said with a minyan. And they're able to say Barchu and the first blessing of Shema, even you know, by creating a second minyan after the first minyan happens. Now, if we look at it that way, so Porsin al Shema means you divide the blessings of the Shema, meaning they don't say the second blessing of the Shema, they just say Barchu and the first blessing of the Shema, because you have to say at least one blessing to sort of be Yotze. But if that's true, then we are talking here, and Rashi says specifically, then we are talking about saying Kaddish and Baruch Hu. So the people who come late to Shul, they'll say Kaddish, and they'll say Baruch Hu, and they'll say the first bracha of Shema. In which case, Kaddish and Baruch Hu at least are mentioned here, but in a sort of, you know, sideways. And then the second clause of the Mishnah says, Ve'ein Ovrin Lifnei Ateva, that is referring to the Chazan who repeats Shmona Esrei. So the first part is referring to sort of Kaddish, Baruch Hu, and the blessings of Shema, and the second case is dealing with repeating Shmona Esrei. And the reason for dividing these two would be in a situation where you had a minyan, let's say you had 10 men and you said Kaddish and Baruch Hu, and then one of the men had to run out, took an emergency phone call, or he said, I gotta go, and he leaves, and then you only have 9 men. So the halacha in these situations, and I've had these situations, is that since you started Kaddish and Baruch Hu with a minyan, even though someone leaves, you can finish what you're doing, the part of the davening that you're doing, you can finish even without a minyan. Tosos mentions that the Midrash calls out the people who leave a minyan, a person who breaks a minyan in the middle, that it says, Ozvei Hashem Yichlu, that they are considered abandoners of God and they'll be punished for it. But the minyan itself can continue to daven. So one aspect that you continue to daven is if you say Baruch Hu, you can say the blessings of the Shema, but you can't necessarily go on to say Shmona Esrei. There, you wouldn't be able to say Kedusha, for instance. However, if you started Shmona Esrei with a minyan, and then before you repeated the Shmona Esrei and said Kedusha, you lost your minyan, you would be able to continue to repeat the Shmona Esrei and say Kedusha, even without a minyan. In fact, we paskin halacha l'maisa that you can go all the way through the Kaddish after Uva L'tzion, as long as you had a minyan at the beginning of the silent Shmona Esrei. In this case, if we read it that way, then the word pores either means to begin the davening. So pores al Shema means to begin the blessings of the Shema, and you begin it by saying Kaddish and Baruch Hu. Or perhaps the word pores can also, another interpretation of it, is that it means to bless. That there is one way of translating the word pores is to bless, so that it means to say the blessings of the Shema. There may be other interpretations as well. My challenge with the way that Rashi reads it is that it's a very b'di'evit situation. It's like one of those guys who comes in at the end of davening and says a quick Baruch Hu at the end. Everybody's, you know, walking out the door and he's saying Baruch Hu at the end of davening. So it's a sort of very b'di'evit situation, whereas it sounds here like being pores al Shema is a l'chatchila activity. And that's how it seems in the Rambam too. And the Rambam mentions it, but in Hilchos Tefillah he seems to indicate that in a few places that being Pores al Shema is something that is regularly done in shuls. So perhaps then we can understand it really is referring to Kaddish and Baruch Hu, especially because we paskin that you don't need a minyan in order to say the Kedusha that is in the blessing of Yotzer. That's the first Kedusha that we say Kadosh Kadosh after Baruch Hu, that can be said by individuals, but we do require a minyan for Kaddish and Baruch Hu. Okay, we're going to stop here and we'll continue with the other aspects, the other rituals that require a minyan in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.